Hey, what is up? This is the Leafs Convo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. I'm Norm in London, Ontario, along with my podcast partner in crime, dating back 87 years now, the one, the only, Michael P. Augello in Cheektowaga, New York, USA. Mr. A, the Maple Leafs are back on a streak, three straight wins, thoroughly dominating Les Rats in Montreal, a 4-1 win. The offense spread out yet again. We've got seven games left in this wacky regular season. Do you believe with the way the Leafs are playing at this point, they are home and cooled and will clinch the Scotia North? Because they did clinch a playoff spot last night.
Good morning, Norm. No, just kidding. Well, yeah, I mean, it's nice that they got the clinching of the playoff spot out of the way. We knew that was happening based on, you know, where Calgary and Vancouver are. Vancouver lost again yesterday to Ottawa, so I don't think Calgary or Vancouver are going to catch Montreal. I don't think Montreal is going to catch Winnipeg for third place. So it looks like the playoff matches are locked in place, Toronto, Montreal, and Edmonton, Winnipeg, and we can talk about that probably over the next week or so, because the Leafs play the Habs three more times. I think the most important thing here is the Leafs making sure that they finished in first place and piling up the points, because they could have, and this is even in this year, home ice advantage is meaningless, especially when you come, what we've talked about before. If they have home ice advantage and the border situation doesn't change significantly over the next couple months, they could be playing the semifinals in Buffalo or in Detroit, as that being the home arena, because, you know, the Trudeau government will not allow American teams to come across the border and travel back and forth without quarantining. So, I mean, those are the realities. But in the here and the now, the Leafs have rebounded from that five-game losing streak. And the only thing I'm concerned at is they've been so topsy-turvy over the last month and a half, is that, you know, we don't know how long this winning streak will last before they lose a few games, and will they be in the right position ascending when the playoffs start in the middle of May?
This is the Leafs Convo for Oak Ridge Ford. Norm, along with Mike, the Leafs 29 shots on goal, 24 hits, 20 blocks, 11 giveaways, 4 penalty minutes, and 1-for-3 on the power play last night against the Habs. Three more with Montreal, and then the possibility of playing the Habs in the first round is there too. That's a lot of blue, blanc, et rouge.
Yeah, and I almost expected last night to see a little bit of that, you know, pre-playoff sandpaper, like, you know,
remember, but that's how the Habs are going to beat the Leafs, right?
Right, but there wasn't as much of that as I thought. I mean, maybe it's because it's 2 weeks out, and but I mean, other than the Josh Anderson rubbing out Matthews along the boards behind the net, and the Rasmus Sandin being physical, slamming Jake Evans into the boards. You know, there really wasn't a ton of physicality in this game. Now, I would expect as you get closer, and they have three games against Montreal beginning, I think it's next week. It's the 3rd of May, and then I think the 6th and the 9th. I think those are the 3 days. One in Montreal, two in Toronto. I think as you get closer to the end of the season and it still becomes clear that they're going to play Montreal, that the physicality and the message sending will ramp up. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be a one-way street, because you do have veterans like Simmons and Muzzin and Foligno. I mean, Foligno made a couple nice hits yesterday. But I think that they're going to sort of prevent the Habs from running roughshod over the Leafs, because they, you know, they just can't allow them to target guys like Tavares, Marner, and Matthews before the playoffs and give them some bumps and bruises. Because honestly, if they do that, then, you know, I think it's detrimental to the Leafs' playoff chances.
If this thing becomes physical, and I mean the three with Montreal, and the Habs maybe trying to set a bit of a course for an encounter with the Leafs in the playoffs. But if it becomes physical and comes off the rails a little bit and gets wild and frenetic, does that not play right into Montreal's hands, meaning you're drawing the Leafs away from their strengths?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the only series that the Habs can win is a close checking physical defensive struggle, and that is dependent on Carey Price coming back and being healthy and being the Carey Price that played well last year in the bubble. If he's not that, or if it's Jake Allen, then I don't think that even that will work. But you know,
but Mike, sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. The Habs aren't going to prevail in a series that you would consider a work of art.
No, they're not going to, if the game is 4-3, the Habs are not winning that game most of the time. I mean, unless the Leafs goaltending and their defense is bad, the way the Habs are going to win are games that are 2-0, 2-1, 3-1 with an empty netter and them frustrating the Leafs scores and you know, making them pay and making them painful. You know, playing a physical brand of hockey, and you know, they can do that. I mean, Weber and Edmondson and Sherratt when he's back and Petrie, you know, they can do that. But if the Leafs push back, which I think that they're in a position to now, and they get healthy before the playoffs, then I think they'll definitely be favored. But you can never underestimate any team that makes the playoffs. You do that, you do it at your own peril.
The way the Leafs have played this season, up, down, up, down. Why shouldn't we believe that's going to be the flow of whatever remains for this team through this regular season and into however long they can last in the playoffs? Because if that's the case, Mike, we should be expecting another downturn here, but we all know that the downturns in the playoffs can't last more than 3 losses.
Well, the funny thing was before the beginning of March, before that 6-7 that they lost, they were a fairly consistent team. They were playing pretty steady, solid defensively, getting good offense. It was that losing 6-7 when Anderson was playing hurt and Campbell was injured. Pretty much before that, they were, you know, they hadn't lost 2 games in a row. I think there was consistency there. But then now all of a sudden, this recently, it's been sort of, you know, up and down, up and down. You know, maybe with the addition of Foligno, with you know, Campbell sort of writing himself, this will lead to a new level of consistency. But yeah, I mean, I think there's reason to be concerned because now one thing that has changed, the power play has started to produce, not at a breakneck pace, but you saw them yesterday. That goal, the Nylander goal, was tic-tac-toe passing, boom, boom, boom.
And right, it was quick. It was early into the power play.
And that's what they, if their power play is producing, especially in the playoffs, you know, that will prevent teams from trying to get too physical, but that eliminates the possibility of long losing streaks, because when your power play is producing, you know, that's more goals, that's more offense, that's more victories. So I think there's reason for concern, but I think if they continue to play like they have the last few games, that it's not going to be as much of a worry as people think.
OG's Converse, we are not Debbie Downers. We are excited by what we're watching this team do right now, but we're realistic and you are too. We know how this team plays. It goes high, it goes low. The highs are a little higher than the lows, but the time for lows has passed. This team has to continue its ascent, and who knows just how high the team can end up when all is said and done. Hopefully the last of the 31. Ranch, Drake, Alfour, I'm supposed to have class right now, but this is more important. This is more important, right, Mike?
Yeah, of course it is. And no class is more important than the convo. Give me a break.
Yeah, I know. But Jonathan Horton, good morning, guys. Joe Thornton with his 1,100th assist all time. Here's a guy who started his career in 97, 98. Jeez, I'm just coming back to Canada from college in the U.S. at that point, professional. And wow, it seems like so long ago. And this guy takes a licking, but he keeps on ticking. We talked last podcast about Joe tuning up a little bit more, getting kind of refined with the playoff grind coming. Even though it's a nice story to have number 97 on the team and be a spiritual and mental contributor to the process, he still has to prove his worth just like everyone else, because as we know, regardless of your stature, where you're headed, what you're trying to accomplish, if you can't produce, it doesn't make any sense to have you in the lineup. And it appears Joe is he is out there to show that he is still capable of doing what he's done in the past.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, it may have been subconscious, but I had the feeling, and it was a long stretch. It was a month. It was over a month where, you know, he didn't make an impact on the scoreboard. And there were a lot of people who were rightly saying, oh, he's lost a step, not doing anything.
Of course he's lost the step. That's just obvious.
Well, he lost a step when he was 18. He's just never been. But the whole point is that, you know, he was not being a factor. But over the last 2 weeks, I think if it was subconscious, then maybe he's just put it into another gear. You know, maybe it's a situation where he knows this is his last year. He's going to retire at the end of the year. And he's like, okay, now I'm going to empty the tank. I know that I have to start to show that I can still make an impact to be on that fourth line. I don't think he was ever in danger of not being on the roster on game or in the lineup in game one of the playoffs, but maybe it's not possible for somebody to just turn it on a one game scenario. And he sort of ramped up over the last couple of weeks. He started to play a lot more physically, throwing his weight around. He got under the skin of Nick Ehlers. Now he's scoring along with Spezza. And, you know, in a situation in the playoffs, a 10, 11 minute a night fourth line with Spezza and Thornton able to kick in, you know, these are guys that able to kick in goals against the other team's fourth lines, providing matchup problems for, Dominic Ducharme or Paul Maurice or Dave Tippett. That's invaluable. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, I still had confidence that he was going to make an impact of some sort. He clearly is. And you can't understate what Jason Spezza has done as well. He's been fantastic. Yeah. He tied Rocket Richard yesterday on the all-time scoring list at the Bell Center, which is, you know, that's a nice little bit of history there. But it could make a difference in a playoff game, in a playoff series, to have like names like Spezza and Thornton on that fourth line instead of Fraser McLaren and Colton Orr.
Why do those guys even need to be brought up? Thanks, Mike.
They were fourth liners in the playoffs for the Leafs, so yeah, I'm just making a comparison.
Well, even beyond that, some of the spreadsheet darlings that Kyle Dubas considered, possible contributors didn't seem to work out too much. So forget the knuckle draggers, forget these diminutive dynamos, the speculative all-stars, just go to people who've done it in the past, who are pretty competent, who have the sage and wisdom, especially at this juncture of the season. Yeah, Jason Spezza, 2 assists. Marner with that terrific little feed for William Nylander, who scored a goal. Adam Brooks, he's hustling out there.
And really, that Matthews goal, my God. I mean, that was just, I mean, the hand-eye coordination to knock it forward and then beat Allen. Allen, like, looked to the sky and
Matthews. That was weird. Yeah. That he's like, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's, unless there's just a complete ridiculous rally over the next 2 weeks by Mikko Rantanen or McDavid, you know, Matthews is going to have to rock at Richard. And it may have been two in a row if the season had been completed last year. He was only a goal behind Ovechkin and Pasternak. So the pace that he is scoring at is incredible. But, you know, now what they need to do is make sure he is, you know, that wrist that is giving him problems, that it's quieted down and healthy going into the playoffs. I wouldn't doubt that they give him a game or two off before the end of the regular season, just to, you know, because he's going to be eating up 23, 24 minutes a night in the playoffs. He's a young, strong kid, but, you know, they might want to give him a little bit of a rest if they have the luxury to do so.
Yeah, Reg, Drake, Althor, exactly. Combo actually helps learning. It certainly does. It helps with the learning process, a better understanding of life and the meaning of everything. I mean, that's why we're here, Ranch. So thank you very much for being a part of the combo. Andrew Walters, that Colton Orr line was great. It certainly was, at drawing blood and beating the shit out of opponents. There, Mike, from an entertainment perspective, at that time,
Don't get me wrong. I loved the one game in Montreal where I can't remember who it was that Colton Orr beat the crap out of at center. I mean, like McLaren and Orr dropped the glove at the center ice face off, and it was beautiful because I mean, for years and years the Canadians just annoyed them. And it was nice to just see, you know, them just like hand. Now I didn't take pleasure in seeing Colton Orr knock out George Parros and basically end his career because he slammed his head against the ice. But I mean, I'm not a Neanderthal because I loved a good bout back in the day, and I still love it, but it just doesn't happen anymore, and it's not going to happen in the playoffs, but. I'm sorry. It's only 8 years ago, and it seems like a completely bygone era.
We don't have to devolve this conversation into knock them down, drag them out about fighting. But I could care less, and we all know this, and I get criticized for saying I don't care because I should care. I mean, I do, but if you think I'm an asshole because I like fighting in hockey. That means nothing to my life. I don't care. For decades and decades and decades, fighting was part of the game. And it made sense to people. Gordie Howe would break somebody's face. He'd get pulled off the ice. The whistle would blow. They'd continue on. If fighting was an integral part of winning games and playoff series and Stanley Cups, I'd be all for it. It's not that it has no place in the game. I could care, whatever. It just doesn't have a place in the game because there are other things to do, like score goals and make plays and be effective. And the fighting beyond the entertainment value and getting everybody jacked up. It doesn't really have that much of a place. Now, if Wayne Simmonds is going to fire up his team like he did in the beginning of the season when he was kind of just getting his, making an impression on his new team, and the Leafs come out and score three or four goals, all the guys and girls, whomever, say fighting doesn't have a place in the game, aren't going to turn that back and say, well, those goals shouldn't count because they were spawned from a fight that may have created energy. Right. If it has a place, if there's reason for it, and it's beyond retaliatory, I have no problem with it. Anyway, you can comment on that. It's just with fighting, we don't need it because there are other things to do. But I'm not anti-fighting by any means.
No, and I think in the playoffs, what's going to take precedence over dropping the gloves is going to be hitting, and I think that, you know, like. John and Chad here is just saying it's part of hockey, you know, and the hitting will ramp up in the playoffs, and that may lead to scrums and maybe a fight or two, but those fights won't happen until the score of the game is already determined. If it gets 5-1 in a game, you'll see somebody drop the gloves, because then they can, without any kind of and it's not a stage fight. That's just, okay, well, you know, we're sending a message for the next game, and that's very possible. But I think the big thing, especially in a series against Montreal, is going to be laying the body. And you know, Montreal will be targeting Marner, Matthews, yeah. Tavares, and the Leafs. What they, you know, the Leafs are capable of doing, I think they will do, is pushing back on that. You hit that guy, we're going to hit your guy.
Yeah.
And hit him harder.
If, hey, fighting is in a way, it's performance art. And when you have 20,000 people in the audience, mm-hmm. that performance art has an effect.
Right.
When you have tarps covering thousands of seats, the performance art is pointless.
Yeah.
Unless whether it's staged or, you know, it's preempted preemptive, mm-hmm. Planned by a particular member of the team in order to activate something.
Right.
Then, and in that case, then it is required.
And I think that's, you know, I mean, we saw in the bubble with no fans in the stands, there were fights, there were scrums, because it does have an effect on the team, on the bench, to get them worked up. And, you know, but it does have more of an effect if you have 20,000 people cheering. Oof. So, I think that will, the importance of that will be much less when it gets to the postseason.
Yeah, and I'll leave it with this. So we're watching the Habs Leafs, or you know, Flames potentially, but Habs Leafs. And the Habs have the run of the play. They've just generated momentum. The Leafs are off their game. Guys are getting smoked. Willie gets smoked.
Right.
No call. AM's getting hooked. Mm-hmm. Rasmus Sandin, poor guy, he had his head bashed into the glass. No call, nothing. Then what? What do you do?
Somebody's got to respond. Now, not respond by like baseball swing at somebody's head, but somebody's got to respond, because the only way that you prevent that from happening in a playoff scenario is by saying, you can't do that. This is what we're going to do. We're going to impose our physical will on you. And that's the only way that you prevent them from targeting your players. But the thing is, if they do that and they injure that player, which is wholly possible, then, you know, you're not going to win that war, because they've already taken out one of your big guns.
But I don't think you need to preface everything with, if we do it in a responsible and contained fashion without consequence.
Right.
Consequence is part of the action.
What I'm
suggesting is that if you let anything get out of hand and you lose momentum, what are you going to do? Like sit there post series and just complain about the officials not calling it properly, or the other team being too aggressive? We're going into the playoffs. The Leafs are clearly more talented than a team like the Habs. How does a team like the Habs beat the Leafs 4 out of 7 beyond the Leafs being engaged in the worst hangover collectively as a team of all time? The Habs are going to have to do things that they may not be exactly proud of, but by any means necessary. So I'm interested to see what the pushback is like. I'm not advocating fighting. I hope it doesn't, you know, the series isn't shaped by, you know, anything that's
untoward.
Yeah, absolutely. But if it's called for, there's a reason why some of these older guys have been brought into the lineup.
Yes.
And, you know, even in the playoffs where you're hoping that discipline is the order of the day,
mm-hmm.
If it has to be done, it has to be done, because the key here is the Leafs need to win 16 games and hoist the Stanley Cup. This isn't about beating the Habs and going, hey, you know what? We took a step. I tell that to Joe Thornton when he's over in Switzerland going, what the hell did I join that team for? Mm-hmm. Just a few more minutes. Jeremy Scott, thanks for being here in the chat. Exactly, a beatdown. Sean Robertson's here. Terry, 3 G's. It's just nice to have you guys on board with us. Tony's dark nightmares. Tony, elaborate in the chat about those dark nightmares, and I'll make sure that I hide the comment. No,
I'll answer his question quickly. Yeah. Is Matthews the best player to put on a Leaf jersey? Not yet, but he's getting there. I mean, you know, he's won Rookie of the Year. He's going to win a scoring title. I still
for the new generation, Mike, to the young generation, yeah. He certainly well, is because
I think he's better than Matt Sundin, and that might be sacrilege. But I mean, and I'm predisposed to look over Matt Sundin for obvious reasons. But he's
all right. This show's over.
Yeah, he's not. You know, Dave Keon won 4 Stanley Cups. I don't care if it was the original six. You know,
but Dave Keon did not have Instagram.
That's true. That's true. And he doesn't have, and he didn't do dance moves on TikTok. But, you know,
I don't really like the comparisons. We've gone over this. The comparisons make no sense. But could he be statistically sure? Is it great that we're watching what he's doing? Yeah. Does he seem like he loves the Leafs and appreciates his position in this organization? Effing right.
He could be the all-time leading scorer in Leafs history, you know, eclipsing Sundin, eclipsing Sittler. And if he doesn't win a Stanley Cup, then there will be people who say the same thing about Matthews that they say about Sundin. He didn't win anything. So,
Andrew Walters, here's another question. Guys, thanks for fueling this convo, because we're right now, we're trying to get from point A to point K, and then we continue through to Z or Z or whatever it is. I don't know what I'm talking about. Forget about it. Andrew Walters, does Matthews hit 35 goals without Marner beside him? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Remember, Tavares scored 47 in the 82-game season with Marner. Not to say that Nylander is not a good playmaker, because we've seen Nylander play mostly with Matthews over the previous few seasons, and Matthews has scored a bunch of goals. But Marner is at, I think, a higher level in terms of a playmaker. He's probably the best playmaking winger in the NHL, next to either him or Artemi Panarin in New York. So, you know, I'm sure, and believe me, you know, it just is a commentary on the closed-mindedness of Mike Babcock, that he refused to put Marner and Matthews together, and Keefe has kept them together for most of the time, and look at the success that it's brought.
Mitchell Marner. Why do they call him Mitchell Marner? Mitchell Marner has 43 assists. He's tied with Leon Draisaitl for third in the league. Marner is tied for fourth in points with Pat Kane, 60. So, yeah, I mean, and you saw that pass that he made yesterday. It's innate, right?
Yeah. He's got the vision and playmaking ability of a center, and we know that he played center in London for a time. But in the NHL, as a winger with a shooting center like Matthews, it's the perfect combo. He's the playmaker. Matthews is the trigger man. It works.
So in this generation where we like to compare everything, who's better? Who was your best guy? Who was the worst? Let's rank them. Because that's where we are as a society.
Yeah.
Go on YouTube. Cities ranked. Teams ranked. Food ranked. Dogs ranked. Neighborhoods ranked.
I prefer the Dachshund is number one on my dog list.
German Shepherd. Hudson and Rex. That's my son and I watch that show all the time. And my daughter, too. I can't leave her out. And my wife. Can't leave her out. And the cats. Everything's ranked. Is Matthews better than this guy? And Gretzky's not nearly as good as Nylander. Because, you know, can we just remember that it's a team effort and that these guys come together need to win? It's Austin Matthews won't win the Stanley Cup himself.
No.
It's a team. It's a team effort. You are good because you have people supporting you and making you better. And you are good, and you were born to be this way because your capability is to make other people better. So I hope that we as Leaf supporters and people who follow this team are like the Leafs, able to cross a threshold and get out of this if we, who's better, who's worse, who should be gone, you know, how would you, and get into a scenario where the entire group of us are following along something that's really special, because the team that we all purport to care about is making us imagine and dream in real time with real possibility. So we're not comparing guys anymore. We're just focused on the team being great and beating an opponent in a round that takes us to the next. That's what I hope we can all accomplish here over the next few months, Mike. We'll go back to ranking things and comparing and shitting on guys and overhyping guys down the line. But for now, I think we all, like the team, need to graduate to the next level. And that next level is, you know, focusing on us and focusing on the capabilities of a team that certainly has amazing capability here as a team. Just real quick before we go, I added to community YouTube. Guys, if you're not subscribed to the channel, why not? Just do it. It's great. You get all the notifications about our content. And we really do appreciate you guys hitting that subscription button or the subscribe button. It makes us feel like you really do care, even though you do. Show us if you can. In community poll from 3 days ago, do you think the Leafs are getting playoff prepared? 88% say yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, I think I'm sure people were scared about the way they were playing during the five-game losing streak. Now they, you know, I think they've bounced back. They got Foligno in the lineup. He's helped that top line, and I think the sort of trickle effect, domino effect in terms of the lineup has helped. And you know, they get Hyman back and Riley Nash in there, and obviously Bogosian before the playoffs. Those will be big additions. The one thing, and I'll just say this briefly and we can end the show after that, is the Freddie Anderson situation. So he's practicing. He let the media know that it was a knee injury, not anything like groin or hamstring. So that would lead you to believe that it's not something that is, you know, if it's fully healed, that will reoccur. But I mean, a knee is obviously something very important for a goaltender. So I just wonder how this is going to play out in the last 2 weeks in terms of how many games will Anderson get if they can bring him back off the LTIR. He may play games with the Marlies, and that might be what he would have to do on injury. Not recall, but if they loan him out as an injured player to conditioning stint. If they do that, then, you know, he'll get some work in, but it won't be at the NHL level. So we'll see how this plays out.
Mike, I know you have morning Tai Chi. Give me two more minutes. Marcus Daly, morning, Norm, Mike, big fan of the combo. Been with you guys since day one. Great job, boys. That is nice to see. I'm not familiar with the name, but if you've been with us since day one, you are a bona fide certified OG. And hey, just before we go, yeah, Miroslav Krejčí, 61. Come on, man. That's way too early. Led the Leafs some points, I think, one season, like 80 points or some 75, 70 something points.
I know he scored 30 goals 1 year. I remember, and somebody brought back them, and I was watching this game. I remember this game. There was a game against Edmonton.
Yeah. Like it was like 14-12.
It was 11. It was 11-9. And Bunny LaRocque was in goal for the Leafs. And wow. Krejčí scored four goals. And the thing I remember about him was he played on that line with Walt Podubny and Peter Inicek. That was really good in the early 80s. That was like the number two line behind the Vyjder, Lego, John Anderson line. And yeah, it's sad. 61 years old is way too young.
That is. And I used to get him mixed up with Peter Inicek. He was from the Czechoslovakia.
Krejčí, I think Krejčí was a Slovak. I think Inicek was a Czech. But yeah. No, they're
back when they were
back when it was still Czechoslovakia, so they would have played for the same team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, we're the Leafs combo. We consider, if you were a Leaf, you know, Leaf for life. And it's really, really sad to hear. I'm gonna go down a bit of a rabbit hole. on Miro's Freacher later today. I am off, so lucky me, believe it or not.
He wore number 14, which, you know, it wasn't retired at that point. That was Dave Keon's number. So,
Match 709, foo, I made it. Good morning from Newfoundland. You're going to have to start us up again on YouTube, because this will be up and running here in the next few minutes. Last point to you, Mike.
Well, tonight against Vancouver, a game with not a lot of consequence. I mean, I'm sure the Leafs want to bag the 2 points. We'll probably see David Riddick in goal in the second of back-to-back. You're probably going to see, I mean, Vancouver played yesterday in the afternoon, so they're going to be, and they played a bunch of games. So you're going to see a more tired Vancouver team against a, you know, relatively tired Leaf team. So I wouldn't expect a game that will be sent to the Hockey Hall of Fame for preservation.
The 2 points should be a given based on where the Leafs are, what they need to accomplish. Does Sheldon Keefe need to configure this lineup with an idea of what's to come in the playoffs?
I think, well, first of all, they can't take it for granted because they lost 2 to Vancouver in Vancouver.
I know. I saw you shaking your head there.
But this would be a game that I would insert Engvall, insert whoever didn't play yesterday.
Yeah.
Give Spezza and Thornton the night off after a good game. You know, you want to conserve these guys.
Yeah, good point. OG's Converse, thanks so much for being here with us. We'll be back, looks like Sunday, for the spectacular. In the meantime, enjoy this hockey. These are fantastic times for the team, for you, for us as a group. Let's just enjoy them. For Mike, I'm Norm. We're out.